Today's shiur is Masech Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Dalad. We will begin on Daf Kuf Gimel on the base, three lines from bottom, Reb Tarfon. Our Mishnah taught us a halacha, that even though the Torah Kedoshah teaches us v'heshev ez gzeila shegozal, that if somebody steals, he has to return what he stole, but he doesn't necessarily, under all circumstances, have to travel to the place where he stole it, to return it to the person who he stole it from, no matter where he is. But we learned that if the person not only stole, but he swore falsely, and then admitted that he swore falsely, then the halacha is yelechana achrav l'modai, he has to travel all the way to Modai to return what he stole. And the Gemara wanted to identify who is the Tana of our Mishnah. And the Gemara, in attempting to do so, said, Gemara quoted a machlokes of Rav Tarfon and Rav Akiva, where they discuss a situation where the person stole from one of five people, he doesn't know from whom he stole. Rav Tarfon said it was adequate just to put it down and let them figure it out. And Rav Akiva says, you have to give it to every one of them. And the Gemara, the last explanation the Gemara offered, that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Reb Tarfon, and when did Reb Tarfon say that it's just good enough to leave it between the five people is where he just was just returning a stolen object, but he doesn't know from whom he stole it. But in a case where he swore falsely, as we just described, even Reb Tarfon, we learned, the Gemara suggested, would agree that you have to physically return it to each one. Ask the Gemara of Tarfon, that is it true that Reb Tarfon psak is that when you swore falsely, you have to give it directly back to the hands of the person who you stole it from? Michti, let's understand. Hechad mishtaba, when the person swore falsely, lo sagid lo hayda, he's not chayif, even if they're edim. The Torah says that v'svadas chatosim asha'asu, v'eshes as hashem b'roish v'chamishasu yosav lo v'nosan asha'ashaloi, that even if they're edim, it's not enough. Our Mishnah is speaking about a case where a person admitted to what he did. So if that's the case, why did Mishnah say, my iri v'nishba, if he's coming to fulfill his obligation, he should have to go to give it back personally to the person from whom he stole it. And the Gemara explains itself. The Tanya. The Braisa teaches us referring to Mishnah Masechet Yevamos, which refers to the case that we just mentioned, where you stole from one of five people and you don't know from who. Says the Gemara, if the Machlokes is, what does the din require? Does you have to give it back to every one of them, as Rabbi Kiva has been teaching us, or giving back, leaving it, depositing it is enough? However, we learned over there in the Braisa that my Rabbi Tarfon agrees with Rabbi Kiva. Ba'im l'shnaim gazalti echad mechem mana. When he says to two people, I stole from one of you a mana, but I don't know which one of you, two of you, noisin l'zeh mana l'zeh mana. Kivin shekva hoida ba'atzmai. So since he was moida, and he wants to do what's right, since he was moid and he wants to do what is right, he has to give to each one. So the Gemara's question is, just like Reb Tarfon over there says, that if he wants to do what's right, he has to give it to each one, shouldn't the same halacha be about Yelchana Achrav L'modai, that if he wants to do it right, that he should have to go bring it back to the person from whom he stole it? And now we're saying that Reb Tarfon only requires that when he swore. So, says the Gemara, then it clearly, our Mishnah is clearly not following the opinion of Reb Tarfon. Elam Rava, says Rava, that our Mishnah actually follows both the opinion of Reb Tarfon and Reb Akiva. The Machlokes of Reb Tarfon and Reb Akiva, when somebody stole from one of five people, and he doesn't know from whom he stole, has nothing to do with a false shvu or not. Rav Akiva holds that the halacha requires him to return to each one of the people, because that's the only way Rabbi Akiva holds you could fulfill the obligation of Heshev as a Gzela Shagazel. And Rabbi Tarfon holds that the halacha doesn't require that, because the halacha of, as we said in our previous year, according to Rabbi Tarfon, the halacha of the Torah of Heshev as a Gzela Shagazel says that you, the Gazlan, have to get out of your possession this object that you stolen. This that you want to give to each one of them is only lots of Sidei Shemayim. So the Mishnah that says that Yolichena Achav Lamodai says the Gemara, even Rabbi Karfin and Kiva will agree, applies even if he didn't swear falsely. The only nafkamina is Rabbi Kiva is going to say that the halacha requires that, and Rabbi Taf is going to say that you're doing it lots of Sidei Shemayim. And Shani Masnisen, but our Mishnah cannot be compared to the case that Rabbi Kiva discuss. Because since in our Mishnah, the Kivan the Yod de Laman Gazlei, he knows, the Gazlei knows from whom he stole, Va'oidelei, and he admitted that I owe it to you, Kivan the Efshel Adurim Mamani Lamari, so since this person wants to do what's right, and return the money to whom he stole the money from, have a commander Amali, it's the halacha looks at that as if the nigzel says to the gazlan, yili biyotcha, you could have it until I come back. And it's considered as if he returned it. Hilkach, nishba, if the gazlan swore falsely, afgav the kamali yili biyotcha, even though the person from whom he stole it says, I don't care, you'll give it to me whenever you have the opportunity. But now there's a new consideration. Kivan, the boy kapara, since he needs to have a kapara for what he did, that he swore falsely, and the only way the kapara could be achieved is by giving it back to the person from whom you stole it, there's a locha that you have to take it to him. And it's, you won't have the kapara ad mata liyodei. And I saw that the Michas Chinuch and the Avni Nezer point out, so maybe that halacha of Yelchana Achrav Lamadai will only apply in a time when he could also bring a Karban Asham. And it, their opinion and the basis of their question is that as we said when we learned the Mishnah, we explained that this Gazlan, who's mechuyev to give, who's obligated to give a keren v'chaymish, and is also obligated to bring a karban asham, cannot bring the karban asham until he returns the keren v'asham, keren v'chaymish. So now the question that will come up, what will be the halacha in bizman hazeh, where anyway there is no karban asham? Will the halacha of Yelichena Achrav apply bizman hazeh? So the opinion of these achrayim are that even though there is no carbon asham, bizman hazeh, the halacha will still apply the Yelchena Achrav Lamodai. The Rosh says this, and so does the Sma say it as well. And in fact, the Michas Chinuch asks, why doesn't the din of Chaimish apply bizman hazeh? Yes, we understand, unfortunately, we don't have a base of Migdash. So the halacha of Asham doesn't apply bizman hazeh. But why doesn't the din of Chaimish apply bizman hazeh? So he answers that because the Chaimish is called an Asham, the Torah uses the word Asham when it describes the Chaimish. So that's why the din of Chaimish doesn't apply bizman hazeh. But the din of Yerelchena Achrav Lamadai, they say, does apply bizman hazeh. There are others that disagree. Dar Sameach seems to say differently. Says the Gemara, Hilkach, the Kivan the Bay Kapara. So in the case that the person swore falsely, he needs a Kapara. And Lo Sagei Adamat Aliyodei, the Kapara cannot be achieved until he actually delivers it to the victim. Ha Lo Yishtaba, but if he didn't swear falsely, so by admitting that he stole, this object becomes a bekadim, and the aloch of a bekadim is ad the osv shakalei. The aloch is that it's enough that you should come and pick it up, and that's why Rav Tarfon says that it's enough that they should come pick it up, and it's not necessarily that you have to go take it to him. But we learned further in our Mishnah, lo yiten lo lebnoi v'lo l'shluchai. You can't fulfill your obligation by giving it to the son or the shliach of that person. So our Gemara begins a discussion where somebody asked somebody else to watch his money, and he then sent a shliach to pick up the money from the person who's watching it. When, under what circumstances, does the shomer, by giving it to the person, to the shliach, no longer have any responsibility? And until when does he have responsibility? Says the Gemara Itma, shliach shasaw be'edim. If the person who left money with someone else appointed a shliach in front of Edim to go pick up the money, Rav Chisda Amar have a shliach. Rav Chisda says that he has the halacha of a shliach. And as soon as he receives the money, the halacha is that it's fine. Rav Amar, Rav says, he's not considered a shliach, that the person who is watching the money is still responsible. The shomer remains responsible until the money actually is delivered to the person personally. So I saw that, as we're going to see in the Gemara, that even according to Chisda, the person, the shomer who shows up and says that the shliach who shows up and says, I was appointed as a shliach, and I was appointed as a shliach in front of Edim, that it's not going to be adequate, because he also has to come with Harshah. Harshah means that he has a letter of authorization, a power of attorney, that the person who has the money appointed him to pick up the money. So, of course, the Rishonim ask, why, if he has Edim, should that not be adequate? So the Rishonim give a number of explanations. The Rosh explains, because we're concerned that, yes, this individual is appointed as a shliach, and he was appointed as a shliach in front of Edom. But maybe after he was appointed as a shliach, then the person who appointed him the shliach nullified that appointment. So when he comes now and says, I'm a shliach, and even says that I have Edom than a shliach, it would be inadequate. Another explanation that Mordechai gives is that we need to be concerned that the person who appointed him to be a shomer passed away. So, to appointed him to be a shliach passed away. So even though he appointed him as a shliach, but now he's not here. Now he's not here. And since he's not here, so they never appointed him as a shliach. And since they never appointed him as a shliach, he can't act in the capacity of a shliach, unless he has a document, he has a shah. So again, Rav Chisda Omar, Rav Chisda says that he's considered a good shliach. Rav Amar, Rav's opinion is lo have a shliach, that he's not considered a shliach. Rav Chisda Omar, and the Gemara explains the opinions. Rav Chisda Omar have a shliach that is considered a shliach. Hachi tarchi v'okme be'edim. Why did this person take Edom to Lake Bereshusay, to make it into an official appointment? And therefore, since he went to the bother of appointing him of have Edom, that's why he's going to be considered a full-fledged shliach. Rava Malayev a shliach, who's not a shliach, hachkomer. He says all he meant to say was inish mehemenhu, that this shliach that he's appointed is a trustworthy person, and he was, so to speak, sending a message to the person, to the shomer. If you want to rely on him, go right ahead and rely on him. And if you want to send it with him, if you want, you could do it. But I'm not appointing him as a shliach, that you are absolved of responsibility by giving it to him. Ask the Gemara on Rav Chisda. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah Masech Baba Metzia, Daf Tzadik Chesav Beis, Hashoyel as a Poro. If somebody borrowed a cow from somebody else, and Shulchop, and the person from whom I borrowed it sent that cow to me, Biyad Benoy, Biyad Avda, Biyad Shluchai, son, Eved Shliach, Oy Biyad Benoy, Biyad Avda, Biyad Shluchai Shalashoyel, or he gave it to the person who's borrowing it, Eved son, or Mesa, and the animal dies on the way from the mashal to the shoyl, potter. Because even though we know that halacha is a shoyl is chayiv ba'ainsim, even though we know a shoyl is chayiv ba'ainsim, it's not considered in the halacha that he became a shoyl because it never came to his possession. So says the Gemara, when the Mishnah says, b'yat shluchai sh'shoyl, if he didn't appoint the shliach in front of Edom to be a shliach, ask the Gemara, how do we know that he is a shliach, that he should have the halacha of a shliach? Ella, it must be referring to a situation that not only is he a shliach, but he was appointed to also be Edom. And yet it says, the potter, that even though I appointed this person to pick up this animal on my behalf, and I did it in front of Edom, he doesn't become my shliach. The Kashla of Chizda, Rav Chizda says that if you appoint somebody in front of Edom, the halacha is that he becomes, that the halacha is that you become the shliach. So how does Rav Chizda understand that Mishnah? Says the Gemara, Kedam Rav Chizda. The Mishnah, Rav Chizda explains the Mishnah, our Mishnah, when our Mishnah said, Lo yitin lo lebnoi v'lishluchai, that it's talking about a case of schiroi, that is a person who I hired to work for me, lekotai, or I hired to do a specific job on my behalf. Hachinami, it's going to be speaking about b'schira v'lekitai. So I only sent somebody who is my employee, but that's not a shliach. And that's why Rav Chisda says it doesn't work. But if the person I sent was truly my shliach, Rav Chisda says a shliach is acceptable. So ask the Gemara from our Mishnah on Rav Chisda. Says the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah Tanan, Leitin Loi Lebnei V'Loi L'Shluchai, that if I have to return something to the Nigzel, I can't give it to the son or the shliach of the Nigzel. So again, ask the Gemara, Hai Shluchai Chidami, what is meant when the Mishnah says giving it to the shliach is not going to work? Either Lasa Be'edim, if the shliach wasn't appointed in front of Edim, menayi dinin, how would we know that he's a shliach altogether? Elalav, das be'edim, that he was appointed in front of Edim. And yet, our Mishnah is saying that he's not considered a shliach that I could give it to him. So says the Gemara, as we just learned. Tergmer of Chizda, Rav Chizda is going to say that our Mishnah is referring to a situation, b'schirav elikitoi. Not that he was appointed as a shliach, he's just an employee of the Nigzal. He's just an employee of the Nigzel. Avil, but now we're learning that Shliach, that in the way Rav Chisda is explaining our Mishnah, if it was a Shliach Shasa be'edim, that if the Nigzel would have appointed a Shliach in front of Edim, my, what is going to be the halacha? Rav Chisda is going to have to hold. Hachinami davi Shliach. He's going to be considered a proper Shliach. So ask the Gemara if that is indeed the halacha. So if so, Adatani Sefer. The Mishnah taught us, as we learned the Mishnah, a special leniency. We want takonas hashovim. We want to help the gazlan be able to fulfill the obligation of heshev as a gzela. So we said noisun l'shliach bezdin. It'll be enough if he gives it to the shliach bezdin. But now we have a different option. Lifting v'lisim b'didah. When is a shliach not going to work? Like Rav Chisda has been teaching us, if he just happens to be an employee of the nigzel. But if he was a shliach shasa be'edim, it was a shliach that the nigzel appointed with edim, hachanam dav a shliach. Says the Gemara, Amri, the reason why, says the Gemara, indeed, the Gemara could have given such an answer. However, the Mishnah preferred to speak about something that always works versus something that has conditions attached to it. Amri, lipsikalei, shliach bezdin, when we speak about giving to the shliach bezdin is always going to work. Loishna also nigzav, loishna also gazlin. It doesn't make a difference who appointed him to be a shliach, have a shliach. So that's a set psikala, that's a set law, easy to understand. But when we speak about shliach shasa bazdin, so then it's the shliach that also was made a shliach in front of Edom. The there halacha is going to have to start differentiating. The kiosa nizel, if the nigzel made him into a shliach in front of Edom, halachically, he'll be considered a valid shliach. A so gazlin, but let's say it was the gazlin that appointed him as a shliach. Even if he appointed him in front of Edom, lo yav a shliach, because maybe the nigzel is not satisfied with this person. So now we have to start making all of these kinds of conditions, so the Mishnah was preferred to say a simple din. Says the Gemara, Fuki Maitana, that the Mishnah that says that any Shliach Bezdin will work, says is contrary to what Rav Shimon, the Tanya Rav Shimon Loza Omer, Shliach Bezdin Shaso Nigzav Laso Gazlin, or Shaso Gazlin V'shol Chalo V'notel Shaloi V'yodai Potter. So we see that the Tanya of the Braisa speaks about that a Shliach Bezdin that the Gazlan pointed is not going to be adequate. It has to be get to the hands of the Nigzal. So we saying that any Shliach Bezdin works is not. Rav Yochanan relates the Dama Tavayu, Shliach Shasa be'Edim, a Shliach that was made in front of Edim, have a Shliach. It's going to be considered that he's a Shliach, and as soon as I, the Shomer, give him what I've been watching, I fulfilled my obligation. Vim time in Mishnah Seinu. Our Mishnah says that a son or shliach doesn't work. Says the Gemara, our Mishnah is speaking about a case, but mantzilo shliach. Not a shliach that was made in front of Edom. Domalei, the gazlin, says to the shliach, isli zuzigabe, the person who owns the money, tells the shliach, isli zuzigabe planya. That person is watching my money, and he's never sending me back the money. So he asks him, you're traveling to that location. You're traveling to the location. Make yourself known to him. Because maybe he really wants to send me my money, but he doesn't have a way to send me the money. So if he'll see you, he'll ask you to take my money. So but he was never appointed as a shliach. And as Rashi explains, when the person was never officially appointed as a shliach, you could only become a shliach if you were officially appointed to be a shliach. Since this individual wasn't officially appointed to be a shliach, he cannot be considered a shliach. And as the Nesiva says, you're only a shliach is if you were appointed to be a shliach. And I saw that the Rosh and other Rishonim say, not only does it require that you should be officially appointed as a shliach, but they say you have to tell the shliach what is his job, what is his shlichus. Inami, or we could explain that our Mishnah is referring to a case, as we've been saying throughout our shir, a worker of the person is never considered a shliach because he wasn't appointed in that role. Amar Yudam Shmuel, says the Gemara, a shomer who wants to return the money that he's watching that belongs to someone else, a mishal chamos b'diyokni, you can't send money b'diyokni. Rashi explains that you give simonim, you put it into a case or into envelope, and you make simonim. Tosfos says that you ask that you have a document written saying that I sent the money to you. And Tosfos says that you can't just make a person into a shliach lekabbalah if that other person, if the person who owns the money does not agree. So again, says the Gemara, Ein mishalchin mos, the shomer cannot send money to the person whose money he's watching just by putting into the yukni. And afil edim chsumala, even if their edim signed on it, it wouldn't make a difference. Rav Yochanan Amar, If their edim signed them it, then mishalchim, you can't send back the money that way. Amri, so says the Gemara l'Shmuel, according to Shmuel, that you can't send back money in this fashion. Maitakanta. So how can you get the money back to the person if you're not in the same location? Says the Gemara Kehoder Ava Ava Masik Zuzay the Rav Yosef Bechama. Rav Yosef owed money to Rav Abba. Amalei, so Rav Abba said to Rav Safra, Behaidi the Isis, when you're going, you're traveling to the place where Rav Yosef lives, I ask you, Isis Neili, bring it back, bring me back the money. Kiyazul Hossam, so when Rav Safran came to the place where Rav Yosef lived, Amalei Rava Berei, Rava, the son of Rav Yosef, said, because of Loch, did Rav Abba write for you in a document, his kabalti ma'oise b'kabalos ha'shar Rav Safra, that the obligation, you won't have any personal obligation. Amalei, so Rav Safra said, loy, I didn't get such a document. So he says, iach izel b'resha, go to Rav Abba, and make sure that v'yichtech Loch, that he should write you a document, that the moment you get the money, it's considered like he is kabalti. That's you, that he received the money. And therefore, if something will chas v'shalom happen to that money, as you're bringing it back to Rav Abba, you shall not be held responsible. Says the Mara, l'soif amalei, ikas l'chnam is kabalti. Then Rav said to Rav Safra, even if he writes his kabalti, laf klamhu. Says the Mara, why? Because there's another consideration. Dilma ada osis, maybe until you'll come here and take the money and then go back to bring the money back, Shachar Rav Abba will have passed away. And now he's no longer the owner of the money. V'nafal zuzei kameyasmi. So now who is the owner of that money? Rav Abba's yosimim, his yarshim. And skabalti, the Rav Abba. So even if Rav Abba will write for you a document, write for you that the moment you receive the money, it's as if I received the money. That's only if Rav Abba is still alive. But here, if he is no longer alive, then that wouldn't help. His askabalti wouldn't help on money that's not his, on money that belongs to the Yarshim. So Rashi explains what's pshat in this Gemara. He says that Rav Abba was an old man, and therefore there was a legitimate concern that Rav Abba will pass away before he actually receives the money. So the Nemukah Yosef asks that throughout Halacha, we always rely on a Cheskes Chai, that if a person is alive, the Halacha assumes that if we saw him alive, he's still alive. So why over here do we have to start being concerned that maybe he died? Rav Abba was alive, he has a Cheskes Chai. So the Nemukah Yosef answers that yes, in Halacha, we can rely on a Cheskes Chai. But here, what happened? He was asking for advice, what is the best thing for me to do? When you're asking for advice for what is the best thing to do, even though the Halacha tells you to rely on a Cheskes Chai, it's still not the best thing because there is always the possibility that Rav Abba will die. The Yam Shishloim and the Sma say that the halacha that we rely on a Cheskes Chai is only regarding a surim, but not regarding mamon. That means if somebody sends a get with a shliach, and now the wife receives the get, but there's always a concern that maybe by the time she received the get, the husband who sent the get is no longer alive. So for that, we rely on a Cheskes Chai, that if he was alive when he sent the get, he's alive now. But here we're not talking about Isurim. Here we're talking about Mammon. And by Mammon, we are lenient. And the Ktsais explains. The Ktsais explains that Midaraisa, we can rely on a Cheskes Chai. And therefore, there, because Mishimiguna Kilu Barabonon, Chazal said we can rely on the Daraisa Cheskes Chai. But here, we're talking about Mammon, and the Rabbanon were Machmer, that we should not be able to rely on a Cheskes Chai. But then I saw that the Beis Aaron actually says that even by Gittin, where we've been saying now we can rely on a Cheskes Chai, it's only if the person who sent the get was alive and well and healthy. So So there, the halacha tells us that we can rely on a cheskes chai. But if the person who sent it is actually in that stage, then we can't rely, he says, on a cheskes chai. Says the Gemara. Amalei. So now he says, if that doesn't work, so if Safra says to Rav Elamaita Kanta, what does work? Says the Gemara. Zil neknin alach agav ara. Go to Rav Abba, and he should sell you this property with a kinyan karka, agav karka, sell you a piece of property. And there's a concept in kinyonim that if I sell a piece of property, agav selling the property, I could also sell metatlon alone. And ta'ak savloi, and then write his kabalti. And then you write his kabalti. And therefore we don't have to worry about anything, because the money is now Rav Safran's from the moment that Rav Safra gave him ownership on it. Kiha, says the Gemara, and we have such a precedent. Rav Papa Vamasa Tresa Alpha Zuzu Bechazoi. Rav Tuf, somebody in Bechazoi owed him 12,000 Zuz. Eknin Lel Rav Shmuel Bar Abba. Rav Papa gave ownership on the money to Rav Shmuel Bar Abba. Agav Asifa de Beise. He sold him the doorway of his house. And by selling him the doorway of his house, that's how it became his. And now, when Rav Shmuel came for Bechazoi, Rav Papa was so happy that he brought him his money. For Nafik Lape, he went out to greet him at Tavach until the city of Tavach. There are many Rishonim that suggest that you don't have to have a Kinyan Agav. Some suggest that a Hershah, as we spoke earlier in this year, would be adequate. And some say a Kinyan Oidais Adisa. A Kinyan Adisa means that he admits that I owe the money, would be that's your money, would be also an adequate form of a Kinyan. The Gemara begins to discuss when we learned that if somebody stole and swore falsely, and then admits that he swore falsely, the Torah says he has to pay keren v'chaymish. How does the halacha look at that chaymish? Is it considered mammon? And that means that if the person who was the gazlan died before he could pay the chaymish, will his yorshim have to pay that chaymish? Because it's an obligation that their father had? Or is it a kapara? And their father needed the kapara, but has nothing to do with them. Says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, Nosan lais keren, v'loi nosan lais chaymish, and then the nigzal was meichel on the keren, but not on the chaymish, or on both. But there's a shava pruta. For the chaymish, you don't have to go to Madai. Alma, so here he says, the chaymish memainahu. The chaymish is considered like mammon, and therefore, not a kapara. Because if it was considered a kapara, so then that shouldn't hold up the ability to bring up the carbon ashen. And therefore, if the gazlan died, mishamla yarshim, the yarshim have to pay it because it was a financial obligation that the father had. It says the Gemara Tanan Nami, Nosan is a care of a nishba al chaymish, harimoysa chaymish al chaymish. So we see where is there chiv to add a chaymish. The chiv of adding a chaymish applies on top of mammon. So if this is considered a mammon obligation, we could understand that you have to pay a chaymish on top of chaymish. But if it's not a chaymish obligation, you shouldn't have to pay a chaymish on top of it. So it must be that chum shem emaynahu. And says the Gemara, Tananya Nami Hachi, there's another braisa. The braisa says, somebody steals for somebody else. For nizba, and he swears falsely that he didn't steal. Umace, and then he dies. Yashim Sham Kerem V'chaimish, or Pturim in Asham. Why? Because the Asham is a kapara, and the kapara is only brought by the actual gazlin, but not by the Yashim. But Mammon is something that they have to pay as well. Ask the Gemara, is that true? The Yashim B'nei Shluma Echim Shadavun Hava, do Yashim have to pay a chaimish that their father owed? V'manu. The Braisa says, regarding Shavuos HaBekadim, where a person, as we've been speaking, swore falsely that he's not holding it, and then it turned out that he swore falsely. The Torah says, Asha Gozel. From here we learn that Asha Gozel, we pay Chaimish on what you stole, not ashagozel, what you stole, not what your father stole. Adina Adina Neimer continues the brisa. The Gemara is picking up the brisa, so to speak, in the middle. Adina Neimer emes ani mishal chamish agezel aviv bezman shloy nishba. Only in a case where there was never a false shvua. Loy hu v'loy aviv, neither he or his father. However, hu v'loy aviv. Let's say the Yarshim swore falsely, but not the father. Aviv v'loy hu, or hu v'aviv, menayim, that you don't have to pay a chaymish. Tamaloymer, the pasuk says, v'sheheish v'segzela she'gozol v'se'oshik v'she'osik, v'hu loy gozol v'loy oshik, he isn't the gazlin. So isn't this clearly indication that if you're not the actual gazlin, even though you are the Yairish of the gazlin, you don't have to pay the chaymish? Answers the Gemara, Amar of Nachman Kasha. Kan Shahida, the Brisa speaks about a case that the father admitted that he swore falsely before he passed away. And therefore, at the moment that he admitted that he swore falsely before he passed away, he became Chayiv, a Chaymish. And that Chayiv passes down to his Yorshim. Kan Shalai Haida, if he was never Maida before he passed away, then he doesn't have, then the Yorshim don't have to pay the Chaymish. Ask the Gemara, Eloi Haida, if it's speaking about a case that the father didn't admit, so then Karen Namila Mishalim, why should they have to pay Karen? The Chitema, Hachan Namila Mishalim, maybe they wouldn't even have to pay the Karen either, says the Gemara, but let's learn the Braisa all over again. The Braisa was focusing on the Chaimish, but if we're going to learn that he's not Chayiv the Karen either, Lema, Lememra, isn't that the fact that the Brice is only focused on the Chaimish, isn't that an indication, the Karen Mishalim, that the Karen, they do have to pay, even if the father didn't admit to it? Void. And the Gemara asks another question. Tanya, the Brice says, Radina Aymer, Amosai Mishalim Karen Al Gezel Aviv, when does a Yairish have to pay the Karen? Bizman Shanishba Huva Aviv. That both of them swore falsely. Aviv alay hu, hu v'alay aviv, lay hu v'alay aviv, tam alaymer, the pasuk says, v'eshev is gzela she'gozal, gzela v'oishik aveda u'betkodim yesh talmud. Says the Gemara, right away, what does it mean when the Braisa said yesh talmud? V'yosef Rav Huna v'kamba l'hoshmatza, Rav Huna was saying over this Braisa, amalei Rabbi Berei, and Rabbi his son asked them, yesh talmud kamamar, what are you trying to say? Yesh Talmud, that the Torah is coming to teach us, that the Yorish, Yesh Talmud, that the Torah is teaching us, that the Yorish has to pay the Karen, or Yesh Talmud Kamamar, or means that they should pay, but not that the Pasuk is indicating that. Amalei, so Rav Huna told his son, Rav Huna said to his son, Rabba, Yesh Talmud Kamina, Mribuy de Kra Amri. The Pasuk is teaching us that he has to pay, that the Yarshim have to pay the Karen. But what is the Pasuk teaching us? That they only have to pay the Karen and not the Chaimish. So isn't that clearly indication that the Chaimish is not Mammon, and therefore since it's not Mammon, they don't have to pay it. Elamai, says the Gemara, so what does the Braisis mean when you said earlier, Loi Haida Aviv, that the father did not ever admit, for Haida B'nai, but his son admitted. And therefore, since the son admitted that he knows that this object or money that the father had was stolen, so he has to pay the Karen. But he still doesn't have to pay the Chaimish, because the father never admitted. Ask the Gemara, but we learned that what is one of the cases that the son doesn't pay a Chaimish? It's speaking about a case where both the father and the son swore falsely. But if we're speaking about the case of he swore falsely, so why should the son not have to pay chaymish? The nechay benoy, not because of the father's shvua, but because of his shvua. The nechay benoy, chaymish is shvua the day. And it's the Gemara, b'she'en amri, b'she'en gzeil kiyemes. When the son made the false shvua, the gzela was no longer in existence. So since it was no longer in existence, there's no chiv chaymish. Says the Gemara, but if that's when he swore falsely, the object that was stolen, the money that was stolen, were no longer in existence, e she'en gzela kiyemes, then the halacha ought to be a fil keren nami l'mishalem. Says the Gemara, that even though the gzela is not there, he had put up his property as a mortgage for it, and since they had put up the property as a mortgage for it, that's why the Yorshim have to pay the Kelim. Ask the Gemara, v'ki'ika achrayis nechassim. Even if the Gazan had left the achrayis nechassim, may have a. Why should that make a difference? Milva pehi. It's not an obligation that's recorded. And the aloch is, the milva peh, that even if somebody owed money, but the obligation was not recorded on paper, you can't collect it from the Yorshim, nor from people, a case that we often discuss here, who bought property from the person who had the obligation if it wasn't a milva bishtar. And the reason we always explain, why don't you collect from the lekuchas? Because somebody who buys a property from somebody who owes money should know that he's taking a risk because he's buying something that there's a mortgage on. And since he's buying something that there's a mortgage on, it's a risk that he takes that it may be confiscated from him. But if it's a milva peh, so he had no way of knowing. So therefore, we can't hold him at fault for taking on that, for buying it. Answers the Gemara, so but if it's a milva peh, why would the Yorshim have to pay? Amri says, the Gemara, Sha'amid Bedin, that the father was obligated to pay this before he died. So therefore, once Bezdin said that the father's going to have to pay, the son has that obligation. Ask the Gemara, if it was a case of Amid Bedin, that they went through Bezdin, and Bezdin told this Gazlan, you're going to have to pay the Keren, you're going to have to pay the Chaimish, and before he Bezdin issued that Psak, and then the father died, then the son should have to pay the chaymish. Says the Gemara, Amar of Hunabre Yeshua, even though there was din, and Bezdin Paskin that the Gazlan has to pay the care of the chaymish, the son won't have to pay the chaymish. Where does the person who's collecting this money collect it from? They collect it only from real estate. And we don't pay chaimish on that shibud. Rava gives a different explanation. He says that the gzela was in existence when the son swore. The father had a briefcase. The father had a briefcase, and it was mifkades biyad acherim, and what was stolen is in that briefcase. But the briefcase wasn't in the father's home, in the son's home, when he was swearing. So he didn't know that in that briefcase, there are stolen objects. Keren shalim, so the son is going to have to pay Keren deisei, because it was in existence, and he has to return it. Chaimish le mishalim, but he doesn't have to pay chaimish, because the ki ishtaba, when he swore, he didn't do anything wrong. The halai aviyada, he didn't know that it's in existence. And since he didn't know that it's in existence, the halacha doesn't make him pay a chaimish. A chaimish is only paid when the person knowingly swore falsely. This person didn't know that he's swearing falsely, so a keren he has to pay because it's in existence and it's something that was stolen. Chaimish, he doesn't have to pay. The Yosh, the Irish.